It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
This is the Fox News Rundown Extra. I'm Jessica Rosenthal. This week we spoke to Zina Kukina. She lives and works in Kyiv, Ukraine's capital city. She's been there since the start of Russia's war. She talked to us about how frightening it has been, why she stayed, who has left, and how one could leave if they wanted to. We talked about her level of confidence in Ukraine's military and her thoughts about support from Western allies. She shared with us finding out about friends of a friend who've been killed and injured. We often have to cut interviews down for time during the week, but we thought you might like to hear this full interview. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to the Weekday Rundown podcast if you haven't already. Now, here's Zina Kukina on the Fox News Rundown Extra. Okay, Zina, first, we are recording, so tell me your, give me your name and tell me what city you're in or where you are.
My name is Zina Kukina. I'm in Kyiv for the moment. And I've been here since the beginning of the war. It's since February 24th.
And Zina, do you live there? Is this your home? This is where you live and work?
It's my hometown.
I know Kyiv is kind of big, and there are suburban areas like homes and villages outside of the city as well. Based on where you are, what can you see and hear?
I stay in the city center, in the downtown, and I can hear explosions and all kind of noises of war. And we have sirens all the time, which when we hear it, we need to go to shelter. And they warn the population about the danger of the rockets or of the attacks. And in the city center, there were several cases of bombing during the week, this night and the previous nights. And we have the explosions all the time in different parts of the city. And some of them are very close. Some of them, the suburbans are really attacked by the enemy. But we never know where the attack will come.
And you said the suburban areas outside of Kyiv are being attacked.
Yeah, the suburbans, they suffered most of all. The whole day today, I was trying to get out my friends from those parts of the city because the buildings are ruined. There are a lot of families in shelters who can't get out of them now, and they don't know whom to address and how to get out of those parts of the city because there is no systematic help. We have a lot of volunteers and territory defense and troops, but they can't get out of the shelters at the moment. And after bombing, there are a lot of suffered families. So the suburbans suffered most of all for the moment.
We saw pictures of like what you were talking about, like condo buildings, apartment buildings that were bombed out, like in Borodyanka, I think, is one place, and another village called Gorenka, also outside of Kyiv. When you hear the explosions and you see the images of these bombed out buildings, I mean, how worried are you as you sit in Kyiv that the Russians are just coming closer and closer to where you are?
It's a very interesting feeling because even though it's been a week since the beginning of the war, but we still can't believe that it's a reality. And the first day when I happened to be with my friends in their apartment, and there are a lot of people here who come and go, and when we hear the explosions, it's like in a movie, you know? And then some of the friends call you and tell that they need help to get out of the suburbans. It's a total mess. I even can't find the words to describe it because none of us previously seen a war by our own eyes. And it's really frightening.
I'm sure. Zina, why did you decide to stay in Kyiv?
This is the question I'm asked every single day by many people. And the only answer I have is that it's my home.
I assume you don't have like children. If you had children, would you be leaving? Would your situation be different?
Maybe. I think that if I have children, I would think about them firstly. But I have parents who are now in another Ukrainian city, which is also preparing for the attack. And my parents, I was asking them to leave, but they refused. They also stay in their hometown. And I understand, well, I'm a young person who can live anywhere in Europe or anywhere else in the world. I speak English. I can work anywhere. But for the moment, I understand that I can help here because this is the moment when my people and my country needs the support and help of people. And now we can see that our people has a really very high spirit,
motivation.
I would say. Motivation, yeah, to stay and to help our soldiers, to help our army, and to try to stay as calm as it is possible to defend our country, because we believe that it has the right to be free and to develop in its own independent way.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Zina, what are you doing to help? Are you armed right now? Do you have a firearm, a gun? I mean, what are you?
No, I don't have an arm. I can tell, for example, for today, since morning, I was contacting with foreign friends and organizations that wants to help Ukraine with humanitarian aid. I was coordinating all the tracks with this help, which are coming from Europe, from all over the world to Ukraine. Then I was arranging the food for our territory defense. And all the things which are done for those who need help, you know, for those who suffered in the suburbs, who need logistics to get out of those places, for those who need to get in some way to the border, for example, mothers with children and they don't have a car or they don't have any other way to cross the border in the western part. So, you know, our people now are very active in helping the state and helping each other in every single problem which appears. And we try to support in our professional field or in any voluntary actions that we make now.
Zina, if people did want to leave Kyiv, could they? Is it surrounded by Russian troops? Like, could people drive out or walk out of the city and move west still?
As of today, there is only one direction, which is free, and people can leave. But, well, today I got a message from my friend who was driving from Kyiv in the northern direction. They left by car, and they were shot by the tank. And
They were shot at by a tank?
Yeah, they were shot out, and there were two families, one of which is dead. And the second one is injured and it's not safe, actually. There is no green corridor for those who leave. And if you leave, it's your responsibility and your risk to take the road and live in your own way.
You know one family that was injured and one family that was killed?
Yeah. It's the friend of my friends, but today my friend sent me a message about the story that they were trying to leave Kyiv and they got in this trouble.
Oh my God.
And you know, the first day of the conflict, I had to stay at my friend's in the apartment. But then another family invited us and in the morning we woke up and it appeared that the building where we had to stay was bombed by the rocket. So The rocket was flying to the airport, but it missed and it flew in a building. So you never know what is the main target.
Zina, let me talk to you about the logistics and what's going on the ground. We've heard that Russia has taken over an area called Kherson. I think it's north of the Crimean area. As they move in to take certain parts, obviously this is one sort of large part. I mean, how concerned are you when you hear that the Russian army or the Russian troops have taken over more of Ukraine? And how confident are you right now in Ukraine's army and in Ukraine's own military?
Well, as we all understand, Russian is even more than 10 times bigger than Ukraine, with all its population and its troops and military capacities. Despite all the weapon which is given to Ukraine from Europe, from all other countries and international organizations, we're still not secure because we understand that the enemy has his goal and he doesn't want to give it up. So we are not secure at all, and we can't even make any forecast because it's unpredictable, actually. It is the feeling in the population, you know, without any news or forecast from politics or economists or anyone else. We don't know what will be tomorrow. And there is the second round of negotiations, but we still don't know what is the result. And I'm more than confident that there is no actual result of these negotiations for the population in general.
More than 1 million people have fled, many to Poland. Obviously, it's heartbreaking to see these women and children on the border, but at least they got out alive. The men, we understand, most of the men have stayed back, I think, for the most part. Do you see a lot of women and children in Kyiv, like either in the shelters or the subway systems that are staying behind too, or is it your sense that most of the women and kids have left?
There are women in Kyiv who left because there are a lot of voluntary hubs organized by women who help the hospitals, who help to feed the military guys, who help to arrange all other things which are not military ones. But yes, the most women, especially with children, left to Western Ukraine, or they crossed the border because men don't have the right now to cross the border because they have the obligation to serve now and to defend the country. So in most of the cases, women left by themselves with the children.
Zina, President Zelensky has asked for more air support and a no-fly zone. It doesn't look like a no-fly zone is happening anytime soon because I guess the thinking is that would drag other countries likely into, you know, direct conflict with Russia. But do you think it will get to that point that Western countries will end up being more engaged in this conflict? Like, what is your sense of the future of this conflict and other countries participating?
I can tell only about the sense because any logic doesn't work anymore. I don't think that the countries will engage 100% because it will mean that it's like a world war if everyone will take part in full in this conflict. We understand that now the two big countries are, like always, there are two big countries, and Ukraine is only in the middle of them. And we don't know what kind of negotiations and what kind of actions they would prefer in their relations, I would say. But now I don't think that the request of our president regarding the sky will be fulfilled, because there are 3 or 4 days when he asked, and there are no response in this direction. So I think it's a big step for the Western world to be engaged in this conflict in full. It would mean that they take part in the war. Now we have a great support, which it seems to me that it's unprecedented support from the Western world. But anyway, it's still the conflict between Ukraine and Russia.
Zina, one more question for you. You referenced it. There was another round of talks in Belarus. It sounds like nothing really concrete has come out of it. But again, Russia said Ukraine has to declare it will not join NATO. Do you want President Zelensky to just do that, to just say, okay, we won't join NATO? Or do you want Ukraine to keep fighting?
If you ask me on the first day of the confrontation, I would definitely tell you I will beg for all this mess to stop, because it's very frightening when you hear all this bombing outside your street. But now I understand that we don't have any other way than to keep fighting. Because if we accept the Russian conditions, it would mean that we would become the part of this country with this government and with its rules. And I don't think that our president and our government is ready after all those, I think, small wins that they already attained, that they are ready to become the part of Russia.
Zina, thank you so much for your time. We are thinking of everybody there, and we just want you to stay safe.
Thank you very much. I hope this will end soon, and every one of us will come back to our normal life and to our plans that we had before this nightmare. Thank you very much for calling and for worrying about our destiny. Thank you for your support. Every voice is very important for Ukraine nowadays, especially the international one.
Yeah, we have to keep talking about it, and we will.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, publisher of The Federalist, and I'm inviting you to join a new conversation with the smartest thinkers out there about the country and where we're going. Subscribe to the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, The Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.